Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Uncle Sam Can't Count a History of Failed Government Investments. From Beaver Pelts to Green Energy is a nonfiction economic history by Burton W. Folsom Jr. and Anita Folsom. The book examines a recurring claim in American public policy that government can successfully identify, fund, and manage private sector winners. Through a series of historical examples ranging from early subsidies in the fur trade and railroads to modern energy policy, the authors argue that public investment often performs poorly because political incentives differ from market incentives. Their central purpose is not simply to criticize one administration or one program, but to present a long historical case that state-directed investment tends to distort decision-making, protect favored firms, and misallocate capital. The book is written as a conservative critique of interventionist economics, but it also functions as a broad survey of how entrepreneurial activity has often outperformed politically guided support. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, government subsidies versus market incentives in American economic history. In practical terms, this framework helps explain why the same pattern can recur across very different industries and periods, whether the case involves transportation, manufacturing, or energy. The authors stress that government selection of firms or technologies is inherently vulnerable to error, because officials do not face ordinary market discipline. Once a subsidy is granted, the supported company may continue to receive help even when performance is weak. That creates moral hazard and delays correction. The book treats this as a structural problem rather than a one-time political mistake. Secondly, from beaver pelts to railroads, early examples of distorted public support. What makes this section significant is that it frames government failure as a recurring pattern rather than a modern anomaly. By starting with early commercial history, the book suggests that the temptation to guide markets has been present since the beginning of U.S. economic development. The historical examples also allow the authors to compare genuinely entrepreneurial success with politically assisted growth. That comparison is one of the book's strongest analytical tools because it separates genuine innovation from subsidized expansion. Readers are encouraged to see that large-scale projects can be politically impressive while still being economically misleading. Thirdly, John Jacob Astor, Vanderbilt, and the Case for Entrepreneurial Adaptation. This topic is important because it gives the book a positive standard of comparison. It is not enough for the authors to show that government often fails. They also need to show what success looks like under market conditions. By highlighting entrepreneurs who worked without heavy public support, the book argues that innovation depends on incentives, flexibility, and accountability. The result is a history in which business success is tied to adaptation rather than to access that makes the entrepreneurial examples integral to the book's logic, not decorative illustrations. Fourthly, Wright Brothers, Aviation, and the Limits of Politically Directed Innovation. The aviation example also strengthens the book's broader historical method. It shows how a field can begin with private ingenuity and later become a target for public support, making it tempting to confuse later government involvement with original success. By placing the Wright brothers alongside other cases of political misinvestment, the authors imply that public institutions often arrive after the essential risk-taking has already been done. Their lesson is that the market is usually better at creating the initial breakthrough, while government is more likely to claim credit after the fact. This makes aviation a useful case study in both innovation and historical interpretation. Lastly, Solyndra, Energy Policy and the Modern Politics of Picking Winners. This topic also demonstrates the book's main warning about crony capitalism. When government favors a firm, the aid may look like public-minded investment, but the actual effect can be to shield weak projects from normal market consequences. The book treats energy policy as a contemporary test case for a much older problem. If subsidies failed in the fur trade and railroads, the authors suggest, then there is no reason to assume they suddenly become efficient when attached to green technology. The modern material makes the book relevant to current debates about industrial policy, climate spending, and federal intervention in emerging industries. In conclusion, readers who are interested in economic history, public policy, free market arguments, or the long record of American industrial development will find this book especially useful. It is most relevant for those who want a historically grounded critique of subsidies and state-directed investment, rather than a purely theoretical defense of capitalism. Policymakers, students, and general readers who want to understand why government attempts to pick winners often fail will gain the most from its case study approach. The main practical benefit is analytical. It offers a consistent framework for evaluating public investment claims by focusing on incentives, accountability, and the difference between political and market judgment. Intellectually, the book is valuable because it connects early American commerce, railroad expansion, industrial innovation, and modern energy policy into one argument about recurring institutional failure. Compared with many books in the same genre, it stands out for its long historical sweep and its direct, cumulative comparison of subsidized ventures with entrepreneurial success. Rather than treating government failure as a single policy problem, it presents it as a durable pattern across eras and industries, which gives the book unusual coherence and relevance. If you would like to support Burton W. Folsom Jr. Jr., you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.